Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Podcast Assemble, the show where you come for your rambling geeky download. My name's Tommy, and I am delighted, as always, to be joined by my friend and co-host from across the pond. It's our resident Hidress of the Pod DL. How are you, mate?
Good, good. What do you call me?
Hidress. That's going to come up later in this podcast.
What is that?
Oh, well, you remember in this movie when we're going to be talking about Monkey Man today,
Hidress?
Guys. We're going H-I-J-R-A-S. Hidress.
Hidress, oh.
It's the trans warrior monk people.
Oh, oh God. Okay. Gotcha.
They're a great part of this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Fascinating insight into culture that I had no idea about.
Yeah, for sure.
How are you, mate?
Subculture.
Subculture.
Sub. I'm good, dude. Yeah, life's good. Can't complain.
My man.
Got to see a good movie this week.
Oh, my God.
Once in 2 weeks.
You know what I find fascinating? And someone made this comment to me. Apologies, I don't have the friend of the show up in front of me who said this, but the fact that we could make good content out of those dire movies says a lot about podcasting.
I guess.
How much better we've got from the first ones we did.
That's true. What did we watch? Scrooge McDuck or what? What was that movie?
Which one? Oh, God. Something Duck. Howard the Duck.
Howard. Just Howard.
I feel like we should come back to that at some point.
I don't know if we need to.
I don't know if I want to rewatch that fucking movie.
I don't know if we need to. Maybe they make something in the universe for Howard the Duck.
He was in Guardians of the Galaxy very briefly. Twice.
For the end of it, like through one of the cuts.
He was also in the What If movies.
But I don't understand why series. They didn't add more.
Because it was one of the Seths and they probably couldn't get his schedule.
Could be like...
Do you want more Howard the Duck after that?
I think they could do like a whole, you know, Who Killed Roger Rabbit style story with Howard the Duck.
There you go. I'd love to see that.
Of that vein, like an adult cartoon.
The bad guy in that terrified me my entire childhood. Genuinely terrified me.
Like the weasels or something?
He was like a dude. He was like... You thought he was a human dude. And then it turned out at the end that his prejudice was because he was one of the cartoon. Like, he was actually one of them all.
I don't remember what he looked like, but they had the acid.
And he had the eyes popping out. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I don't know why as a kid that scared me so bad.
Is Roger Rabbit dating Jessica Rabbit?
Good question.
Or is it just his muse?
Why? Do you have a thing for Jessica Rabbit?
I empathize. if it's the latter.
Are you a furry and you've never told me?
Jessica Rabbit is a human.
What?
Yeah. Google.
Wait, no.
She's the redhead.
Is that Jessica Rabbit?
If anything, she's a furry.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Not me. If there's anything more than platonic friendship.
I think you want more than that, Dio.
I mean, for me, not for him. not for old. Actually, that's not true because I got legally married. Good pivot. Good pivot.
I
made
like
some
that.
Tacos.
I like what you did there.
Did a little celebration.
What
it wasn't
was
even
your celebration
Tuesday.
Afterwards?
It wasn't even Tuesday.
What do you mean?
I made
Taco
tacos.
Tuesdays,
yeah,
of course.
It wasn't even Tuesday.
I mean, you for a celebration, you can do tacos anytime.
That's what I thought. You know, I mean, why I made them.
And they were delicious tacos.
Fuck, dude. I've been thinking about those tacos since then. I was so busy making them, I only had one.
Which would you prefer? Those tacos or pancakes?
Oh, now those tacos.
Yeah, really?
The pancakes fat is past for me.
Okay, all right.
So I don't know what, like, I got over it. Weeks after weeks. It did take weeks. But I got over it. I think it's because, nothing's better than a good taco.
I mean, yeah, they were pretty good. And you really tried to stay away from them. You were doing a really good job. I was devouring.
Yeah, I was just trying to be a host, you know.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I have a very great way of pretending that I'm helping you as
the
host.
The first bite.
So I can get the first bite. Yeah, it's perfect.
I can tell.
I helped a little bit.
I can tell
bit.
When you're hangry because you start coming over. You
know? I get quiet. I'm just
it actually
handing
was
you drinks.
You helped me cut it up so it was all diced and still hot, you know?
Exactly.
You know, it's nothing
you
worse than when you make like really good meat and you're like trying to cut it up and it gets cold by the time
you... Surely you want someone who's there as like a guest to be half involved at least.
Yeah, get over there, dude.
Let's get involved. And that's why I get the first bite. That's why you always got to do it.
It is fair.
I forgot to mention, actually, we were just talking about this before we came on air. I should be coming out pretty much exactly the same time as this. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, I was on the Film Addicts podcast recently.
Yes.
With resident of the show, Reegs, mm-hmm. and friend of the show, Addy. We had a wonderful time talking about Dune. Once you've heard our Dune content, it's all downhill from there, really. But if you want similar content, which is, I mean, God, we laughed so hard. Some of the reels coming out of it are blooming fantastic, DL. So
blooming.
You guys should check it out. I'm going to link it in the podcast description for when it comes out. Please go away, let us know. Give them a 5-star review. And just on that thought.
Yes.
Why don't you give us a 5-star review while you're there in your podcast capture of choice? It's right there in your app that you're using to listen to us.
Yeah, Blumen 5 stars.
It's right
Blumen?
There.
What is that from?
Blooming.
blooming.
Darling. It's very British.
Oh, okay. Instead, so you're just being
bloody. Oh,
you're just being you.
I was being a Brit, darling.
Got it.
And there will also be time codes in the description, as always, supplied by friend of the show and editing genius, Mr. Matthew Bliss of blissery.fm. You can jump around. You can go to our main topic, which I'm pretty sure is going to be awesome to talk about because this movie was spectacular. I'm quite excited to talk to you about it. Or, you know, you can stick around and listen to us chat about our weeks. But next question, DL.
What's going on?
What have you been up to?
Well, other than making tacos and prepping for our extra... our steak night now.
I gotta get
another marinade out. You know, I haven't been doing all that much watching of movies because we've been like playing catch up a bit.
Well, that's good because I've been doing loads.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading a book called Mythos about Greek mythology. It's kind of like a modern telling of like Greek.
I've
gods.
Seen this.
Yeah.
Is it good?
So far, it's a good way to learn about like Greek. Like it's like, you know, they basically make a play out of it. It's almost like a story. But
right. They're not putting them in a modern setting?
No, it's not really a modern setting. It's just like more modern like narration and of like of it. It's like as if like you're reading a medieval book, but like narrated by like someone who
Morgan Freeman.
Someone from our day.
I'm Morgan Freeman. And I'm gonna narrate the rest of this podcast.
No, it's actually some English book.
Okay. Well,
he's pretty good. I mean it's good history before Greece.
You do know Morgan Freeman's gonna make regular pop ups during the show, don't you?
Now.
Yeah, he has to. Okay. He can't not.
Fair enough. I mean, I haven't had enough Freeman in my life, so.
Well, I mean, I do love a bit of Morgan Freeman now and again. You
throw it in whenever you're ready.
But I watched a movie then, so let me throw. Sorry, actually, do you recommend the book?
So far, yeah, I'm like probably a third of the way through.
Okay.
I mean, if you care to like learn about Greek mythology,
I love Greek mythology. I grew up with it. Yeah,
it's a good way to listen.
Me and my brother used to watch all the claymation animation movies when we were growing up. You know, Perseus and the Perseus and the Minotaur, is that one of them? Something in the Minotaur. All of those. And they're like, just the movies in themselves. I'd love to go back and watch them because the acting is probably terrible, but the claymation is just so cool. And I think that's what got me into movies in the first place.
Claymation.
As in this type of storytelling that wasn't necessarily just, you know, reading from a book or listening to the radio, having this weird visual of like a skeleton that's like, I don't know, it was just so good back in the day.
Yeah, well, at least stories are quite, you know, they're actually like very tragic.
Theseus and a Minotaur, that's the one.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Is that the one with the maze?
Yes, correct. Yeah. I mean, we're going to Greece, so you got to get it.
I'm trying to get a little bit of knowledge in before. Yeah. So I've been doing that. Yeah, I'd recommend it. How about you?
Okay. I got first one I watched was a movie. Actually, they're both movies I'm going to recommend this week. So, actually, am I going to recommend this? We watched Spectre. So, the second to last in the Daniel Craig James Bond movies.
Skyfall.
Yeah, not that one. The Spectre one. So, it's...
What's the song?
I've forgotten the guy's name. Sam Smith. Sam Smith did the song to it. It's a bit warbly. The thing I love about Bond movies is the opening... The weird mesh of like stuff flying into each other.
Yeah, they always have some crazy.
I love that. I've always liked that. I don't know why.
You know what that it does remind me of? The Severance's thing reminds me of that.
Like it's all these titles.
It's like their title animation.
Okay.
It's all these things going into each other.
Okay.
That's a fair, like a good call
comparison.
Out.
I like that. Yeah, okay.
Because I did my rewatch recently.
Yeah, of course.
And I couldn't paint, like picture what it was reminding me of, but I think you just triggered it.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Spectre's an all right one. It gets a lot of flack. And what I really want to talk to you about just for a split second was, actually, we did an episode on Bond back when we were very fresh to this, when we were very green to podcasting. We talked a lot about Bond, its history, the Broccoli family, et cetera, et cetera. And Daniel Craig, as a legacy of being James Bond, I'd love to get your take on it because he's had a wild ride. His first film redefined the genre by copying Jason Bourne. The second one was bang in the middle of the writer and director strike, so he effectively had to write some of the script himself. He's not a writer. He's very much an actor, and I think he helped with some direction. And then the third one, again, redefined Bond with Skyfall, your favorite song. And then the fourth and the fifth one, so the fourth one, which is this one, Spectre, tried to bring back Blofeld, missed the mark wildly, and then his last one was No Time to Die when they killed Bond, which, bloody hell, will you believe it, they killed James Bond, spoilers for Bond.
I don't think I've seen that, so...
Well, they kill him at the end of it. There you go.
But it's
only all right. So you've got two wildly amazing Bond films, two which didn't really hit the mark, and one that's all right but has like a wild ending. What do you where does that leave his legacy as James Bond? Because he redefined that character for a while.
I think that, like, I haven't seen all of them. I've only seen about half of them, actually. So I don't know if I'm...
Which ones haven't you seen?
...apt to talk about it. I have only seen Skyfall. I've only seen... And Casino Royale. And then I think I saw the one with...
Quantum of Solace?
Yeah. Well,
that was the bad one, where they were in a desert.
That was the second one?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
They were just in a desert for ages. And it was that was the one... But that was the one that was in the middle of the writer's strike, and he was helping to write the bloody thing.
I guess, like, I think it's... Where does it come out? Overall good.
Yeah, okay.
Overall good, because like the highs are high enough that overall good. Like if you make like two really good Bond movies, which I think it's fair to say they did.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, what, isn't that better than some of the other guys?
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Like GoldenEye was great for Pierce Brosnan, but I did not enjoy any of his other films.
And that was it.
Yeah, right.
That was really it.
I mean, yeah, we talked about this so long ago, but like Sean Connery, it just springs to mind, but he worked for two different studios playing James Bond. His legacy is a bit tarnished.
Honestly, so. I didn't even see all those either. And they're so old and different that it's like hard to compare.
I mean, well, so Craig obviously reinvented 007 for like a modern audience, which is quite clear. And, you know, I respect him entirely for that. I do think it's more okay than great. So to your point, yeah, he has got two fantastic movies in there. Skyfall, just the way it's shot, you know, like the visual storytelling is just a different level. It's almost Denis Villeneuve style, you know, like it's that kind, that emotive to me. And the first one, obviously, you know, it's Jason Bourne.
Yeah. I think that like it's not his fault.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not going to blame it on him, but I will say that like the highs are good enough that I'll give him, hey, you know, it was worthwhile.
Yeah. Okay.
It's worthwhile.
I really rate it.
I'm glad he was Bond at some point is my point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll get behind that.
Like I think as a keyboard warrior, I'm mostly happy.
I'd recommend, I don't know if I'd recommend Spectre, to be honest. Like, it's all right. It's got Dave Bautista with, I don't know, metal fingernails. I don't know. It's a bit odd. But overall, it's not a terrible movie. It's just not great. And you know, Lea Seydoux, she's in a bunch of stuff. She's in a couple of these later Bond movies. Ah, everybody loves her. And I can't get behind her. She's just something about her. She's got this look of pure arrogance on her face the whole time. It really annoys me.
There's always so much time in between them that I don't remember any of the stories or the characters other than James Bond. I'm like, oh yeah, he's back. Is this in the past? Is this in the future? Some girl of his died. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Penny, I remember a lot, but she dies in Skyfall, right?
Who?
Penny? Money Penny?
Moneypenny, no. Yeah. Moneypenny doesn't die. In Skyfall, it's who dies.
M dies.
So Judi Dench's character, who is a long-standing James Bond.
Yeah, she's
only
been around,
one of the only ones who came from the Pierce Brosnan era to the Daniel Craig era. So I don't recommend Spectre, but go away and check out Skyfall.
I might just rewatch them all after this for fun.
You should. You can actually watch the last one that I've now ruined for you. what else have you been up to, buddy?
That's really it. I mean, Mythos, I did, we started 2012 for some reason.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
The disaster movie.
We got like literally 20 minutes in and I was like, I just don't want to do this. And then Gil went and took a shower, so I switched it to You, Me, and Dupree.
Oh, wow.
And I got halfway through this movie. This is a funny movie.
Okay, all right.
Have you seen this movie?
Nope.
I think it might be an underrated gem.
Underrated comedy gem?
Yes. It's hilarious.
We don't watch enough comedy.
Owen Wilson, Kate Hudson, and...
Wow.
Who's the other guy? Matt Dillon? You, Me, and Dupree. Yeah, it's got Matt Dillon. I was correct. Owen Wilson, Kate Hudson... Quite funny. Premise is, I think his old mate from college comes back, needs a place to live. He's like trying to start a family, and then Dupree hasn't really changed over the years and is just kind of still living the college kind of like, you know, life. Yeah. And just a lot of funny scenes, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like impressed. I think it's just maybe this was like not so good in comparison to the things in its time.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, the early 2000s, that was like peak for comedy.
So many.
2000 to 2010.
Wedding Crashers.
Like the best.
Old school.
And I think maybe this one just gets lost in the lore of all that.
Okay.
But when you go rewatch this one and you compare it to like it's got a 5-6 on Rotten Tomatoes. I do not know why.
Okay.
I do not know why. Because it was hilarious. And I just think now when you compare it to all these movies out now, it's just like so much better because obviously they're willing to.
What, commit to a joke?
Yeah. Be bold, commit to a joke. Got Michael Douglas, Seth Rogen's in it.
Michael
apparently.
Douglas is in it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it's on. I don't know what it's on. But
so you'd recommend?
I would recommend slapstick romantic comedy.
Okay,
feel good romance.
Okay, I'll check that out. I could do one of those.
More comedy than romance, I'd say.
You, Me, and or Dupree.
Yeah, You, Me, and or maybe Dupree.
I got one more before we move on. Yep. We watched a movie in the last week, so this is a movie I wanted to talk about on the podcast about a year ago, and I'm gonna say I'm glad we didn't. I'd still recommend if you're in for a nonsense action movie. So this is a movie called Sisu, S-I-S-U. Now, you might remember the trailers. It's effectively set in, I think it's Norway, in the invasion, from the invasion of the Nazis. Mm. And it's effectively this one dude who's quit the war, and then he goes away to live his own life as, like, you know, a gold merchant or whatever he does, like sifting gold.
Gold miner then.
Yeah, and then the Nazis find him, and then, you know, like, all hell breaks loose. And visually, and if you watch the trailer, you'd probably think that it's basically a Tarantino movie without the weird time jumps, without, you know, without the non-static timeline. So in terms of, you know, like the visuals and how it plays, like, it's quite nice cinematography wise. Like, and I kind of like the idea of this one man going up this against the set of Nazis and whatnot, but it is just so dumb. Like, not even like fun dumb at points. There's a bit when he gets, I don't know, probably spoils this movie. I wouldn't recommend you going away and watching it, if I'm honest, but he gets hanged at one point.
Hung?
And yeah, he gets hung.
Hanged or hung? Is it hanged?
Who knows? One or the other. And he survives the night by, he has a bullet wound in his arm, okay? And there's a nail sticking out of the pole he's hung on, and he puts the nail in the bullet hole. Owie. And holds himself up because his hands are tied behind his back. That's how he survives an entire night. Utter nonsense. Like, this guy,
owie,
it's complete shite. Like, not even interesting. It's just plot armor. You know what I mean? Like, there's no... Mm. And by the end of it, by the end of it, it is almost in comedy territory. Like, do you want me to spoil this to you? Because I can if you want, because the ending's utter nonsense.
Get rid of it, yeah.
Okay, so the ending is, he finally gets his gold back that he worked all the time for, but he is in a plane which is falling out of the sky, hits the ground in a marsh, plane explodes, he survives. Like, what?
Yeah, sounds bad. I'll skip it.
Like, it was, so for the first, like, 45 minutes when it was kind of believable, I was like, this is primo.
What drove you to watch this movie?
Because I saw the trailers for it. And it, like I say, it's got that Tarantino vibe. It's an action movie.
It's just a random director, though. Just a random.
Yeah. It wasn't anyone I particularly had taken any notice of previously. But, you know, like, I'm glad I watched it, because it, you know, reminds me, not every one of my choices is good when it's my no veto week. But, you know, worth a try.
Got to keep you honest. Keep exactly. The pride to a low amount. You know,
you got to bring me back down.
Yeah, don't get Tommy too much hubris. I mean, I don't know how he could have too much hubris, because, you know, your partner is reading as fast as you are. Faster, even, really.
Dude, when you've got all this, when you look like this, you don't need to read fast. Yeah, that hubris needs to come down a notch. Guys, if there's anything we haven't talked about that you would recommend us watching, we had a recommendation this week to go away and watch Moon Knight. Actually, we've done an episode on Moon Knight. I think people were rewatching it, looking at it in a new light. Maybe I'll go away and rewatch that. But hit us up. You can find us at Podcast Assemble on Instagram, or thepodcastassemble@gmail.com. Send us memes. Send us news. Send us reviews. We love it when you send us memes. Memes were my absolute favorite times. But DL,
yes,
do you want to preface our main topic this week?
It's the main topic theme.
Yes, I do. Our main topic this week, I think, we'll have more rewatch value than Moon Knight.
Oh, absolutely.
Personally. And really any Marvel movie, while we're on the topic.
I don't know, well, actually.
I think that most Marvel things have no rewatch value. Except for Endgame and a couple.
It was the 15-year anniversary this week of Captain America's, not Civil War, what was the other one? Or was it Winter Soldier? Was it the Winter Soldier or Civil War? And I was like, I could watch that right now.
Maybe the first couple.
But I get your point.
Maybe the first couple, what do they call them, phases?
Yeah, the first couple phases. But
anything in the last 10 years, honestly, or 5 years, sorry, not 10, 5 years has been pretty
trash.
Bad, other than...
Well, let's talk about this thing that's good.
Yeah, sorry. Went straight into Dumb Summary. Sorry, skipped a step. We are talking about Monkey Man, as we talked about earlier. It is Dev Patel's first foray as a director.
It is
his directorial debut, which, you know, good for him. I mean,
he wrote, directed, and starred in this.
He did. This week, we are not monkeys that were men, nor are we men that were monkeys. We are monkey men.
We are monkey men.
And
you're going to do for me your stupid plot summary.
Yeah, it was
as we
good.
Do non-spoilers, then spoilers.
We will. Dumb summary. Man is monkey. Monkey is man. Man eats mango. And by mango, I mean entire crime syndicate that suppresses entire class of people, plus some super wealthy Indian yoga instructor who is for some reason a bit ripped. That is my summary.
I like it. I like it a lot. Mine is a film of two halves where we follow Kid, A boy who becomes a monkey. Dev Patel drinks sandworm piss, creating a spellbinding world of culture, action, and warrior trans communities. I like this film, man. Fuck, it's a lot of fun.
It's good.
Like you say, it's from Dev Patel, and my God, this had a wild production. So this was originally supposed to be releasing straight to streaming, and then Netflix tried to get rid of it. And then Jordan Peele stepped in. He paid like a bunch of money, took it under his banner. And there's a distribution deal that ended up happening with Universal Studios. There's stuff we're going to be talking about when we get to Trivia True or False in terms of the actual creating of the film. It was wild.
Give me a bit of insight. Why did Netflix try and get rid of it?
They didn't have any faith in it. They thought it was going to be good.
God, that just goes to show that Netflix
isn't Netflix so shit.
Well, they're like, it's weird because there's just putting so much money into everything that eventually they will get hits.
Yeah.
But for the amount of hits that they spend, the amount of money they spend, it's like, it's a wildly unsuccessful ratio.
And this is just so good. Like Dev is the kid. I really like the cast for this. So Sholto Copley makes a sneaky appearance in this. He's the tiger. I really, really like Alfonso, who's that. He's like the short guy with the limp, who's sort of like sort of dragged into the lifestyle, but doesn't really want to be there. I really liked the bad guy, who was Baba Schacht, who is the religious leader you talked about. Mm. And then I really, really liked Indian Burt Reynolds, who was the like main bad guy you followed through it. So like that's Captain Rayner, who has the best mustache this side of India.
Yeah,
like everyone in this was great. Like the whole setup of it was fantastic.
It was. I mean, like how Netflix can say like, oh, we'll do Extraction and that'll be great, and right. not do this. Like it's not. This is actually, there's more substance to it, but it's not that different of a movie. In a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, that's,
and it's like, why wouldn't this do well when it's like marketed to an entire, like, A, one of the largest and fastest growing populations in the world,
right?
And B, when it's fresh, like it's a fresh cultural take on, it's absolutely on a familiar fresh. Story.
I think. Do you want to talk through the plot a little bit then?
Yeah, it's an anonymous young man named, as you said, the kid, who
such
a
weird name.
I mean, it's better than protagonist.
It is. I mean, most
I don't know, but it's like, why do that? Give him a name. Unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the, what do we call, corrupt leaders of India?
Yeah.
Some Indian city who were involved in something pretty dark.
Pretty shady.
We will save some of that for after spoilers. But they continue to kind of systematically victimize and ignore the poor and powerless. And that's a big part of what we are investigating with this revenge thriller. Revenge action movie.
Thriller?
Revenge kung fu movie. What do you want to call it?
It's got a lot of things. Yeah. And it's got a lot of vibes as well. So like, obviously, I mean, Dev Patel called out in a bunch of interviews that he was really passionate about sort of the kung fu action movies of like the 80s and 90s.
Mostly.
Like Bruce Lee. Everything like that. Bruce Lee, for example, is one of his, one of the people he really aspired to be like. And you can tell. Like, it's so interesting. And you mentioned there's some really deep political themes in here. And I think that's why this movie stands out for me ahead of something like an Extraction or a John Wick. They called it John Wick in India. It's not. It's got vibes of that, certainly. It's got themes that sort of follow similar beats, but it's not. It's so much more than that.
Yeah. I was going to say, didn't you say it's not just the John Wick with dirtier streets and stronger smells? That was a quote by you.
I don't think I said that.
You said that.
I said, this is the wettest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. If he's not sweating his balls off, he's covered in blood. If he's not covered in blood, he's lying in a pool of, like, I don't know, bathroom water that's all over the place. Water. It's literally, oh my God, it's a lot. It's a lot of things. And I feel like
that is India, though. India is a lot of, everyone that goes to India describes it as a lot.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of everything.
Because it's good, chaos.
Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like a fact. I've had 5 or 6 people who have gone say that literally is the first thing they describe.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
They definitely nailed that.
Well, one of the things I really liked in this, and we're sort of leaning into world building already, but is this real clear divide between the people of India, so like everyone else, and like this very small, rich portion of them who go to this club. And like the whole beginning of the movie, the whole setup of the first half, I actually didn't love the first half of the movie, but the first half is effectively Dev Patel as the kid trying to infiltrate this rich person elitist club and work his way up gradually to being, you know, some anything in the club so he can get sort of access to higher ups that you find out why later on. Like it's super interesting seeing that huge disparity.
Yeah. I didn't love the first half, mainly because I think they didn't do enough like character work.
Agreed.
For everyone else.
You didn't say a lot.
It was like not a lot of dialogue. It was just kind of like, it just felt like a little tropey.
Yeah, agreed.
And
the love interest.
Yeah.
Was just
they like could have done, they could have done more with the characters to really go a bit deeper into this little dynamic that they're trying to investigate.
Agreed.
As opposed to kind of just these random flashbacks that are like, and that you're like, oh, you're obviously seeing like this guy deal with something, and it's event like there it was like very one dimensional.
I mean, it is literally the hero's journey.
Yeah,
just put on a film. It
was
just really,
but it was like first dimension. Like there wasn't a lot of nuance to the other characters around him, or
completely.
Really an investigation of the society stuff that we're talking about beyond just rich, poor.
Yeah, and I'd say that's where it sort of falls down just a little bit. Like, and I wonder if that's a case of the fact that the studio, when they were working with Netflix, maybe pushed back on certain things. Because I know this had lots of things chopped from it. So originally it was going to have like rape scenes and stuff in it. So it was, I wonder if maybe it went
exactly
a bit too
where
deep.
Those were going.
Same.
Don't necessarily think that would have like,
I don't think
that's what it was missing, was like more graphic.
No, like, not at
all. Know, like gnarly shit. Like it had plenty of that. I think it was more missing the subtle like character moments that like make this guy more than just like, but maybe that's the point. They're trying to make him into a myth. But I think it's a lot more interesting when like you choose to become a myth with other things around you that could pull you back to humanity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like that's the Batman story. Like
I think you get that in this as well in many ways.
You get it, but I guess I wanted it to be like, I do feel my main criticism would be the characters around Dev Patel.
Yeah.
Are pretty like much two lines and two scenes.
Agreed.
Like, and they had a lot of potential. Like the one-legged guy, the fact that we never get like a rejoiner between them.
That's spoiler? Alfonso.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens, but like post a big part of the movie, they never really connect again.
Yeah.
And
right.
You don't get like an investigation of how he feels about not having to make, like, there's just more that could have been done there to build the relationships between the people that Dev Patel, the kid, interact with on his rise up before they know that he is this kind of angel of darkness.
Yeah. And even people coming over from the first half of the movie. So like we talked Charlton Copley. So the movie starts with Dev Patel as it's effectively like wrestling in the terms of like it's fixed in quotation marks, but the blood's real and the fighting's real.
And that's like, kind of you see its own place.
Yeah, there's this whole section of the movie that's set in this completely isolated reality that's totally different from everything else that happens in the movie. So, and Charlton Copley's not supposed to be a good person in this, I don't think. I think he's a bit of an ass, but like that's kind of the point. But any of that could have followed over to, you know, so he has that through line through the film, but it doesn't. There's a very clear delineation between him flicking over to being, you know, the Monkey Man.
Yeah, it kind of feels like there's this like part of this movie that was like this like mythic superhero tale almost. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's the same tale as any superhero.
Yeah, like it's like there's that part, and then there was like another cut of this film that had like a more nuanced investigation of like the societal structure of India and like different characters that could represent that,
and someone
like, and like that got like washed over and more favored for the latter, like the former part that I talked about, like the more mythic, which I would have liked a little bit more in the other stuff, because it would make the mythic more real.
Yeah, I agree with you.
More relatable. Like I feel like this movie was missing like a couple scenes like directly from, you know, Gangs of New York.
Okay.
And like the like, you know, those scenes like when you see like Leo's character interact with Carmen Diaz as the prostitute, like they have like more of a character moment that like shows the culture of New York at that point.
Yeah, right.
Do something like that with India. Do something like that with his mate that is the one, you know, the one like
all the love interest.
Like more, a couple of those things sprinkled out that gives us a more in-depth look at the culture beyond just like
Sita.
You know, rich and poor, as I said.
I completely agree. And one thing that I called out to you like immediately when we started watching this was I don't love that kind of Overton trope of, so basically what happens is in the kid's mind, he's constantly going back to his childhood and seeing the things his mum taught him and leading up to his mum's eventual demise, which is a big point of the movie, and sort of a lot sort of, you know, swings around that point for him. I don't love that. It's sort
you
of
mean they just cut little bits
right
of the trauma or little bits of a memory of the mom
of a happy memory
over like 2 hours of the movie and then at the end.
I don't love that.
I don't know that I like hate it. I don't know that I love it. I just don't know what else you do.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense? Like, I agree. Like, I'm kind of like, because especially in the beginning, I was kind of like over it. I was like, we've seen this kind of stuff before.
Put 5 minutes
by
the
end, it was kind of like when it gets to the intense stuff and you're actually like, he's then in full kill mode. Like, that vibe was kind of crazy.
Right.
But like, I don't know how else you do it that isn't tropey, though. That's like, I don't really have a way to, I'm not writing the script.
And I mean, they had to build a relationship between him and his mom with a dead person, right? Yeah. The whole way through.
Yeah.
So like I understand and I get why they did it. I just I'm a bit over it. Like showing me his motivations in some different way. And another thing, sort of almost leaning on what you were saying there about the underdeveloped characters, they had this through line of like a religious leader who is sort of manipulating in the background. You could kind of see where it was going through the movie. We won't get too deep into it, but I felt he was oddly flat. Like there wasn't much development for him.
He
didn't know any of his motivations. You weren't sure what his kind of deal was.
I couldn't tell if they were trying to make it like, is he or is he not a villain?
Yeah, right.
And just by being vague. Same. Or because it was like, if they were, they did a pretty bad job of it, is my point.
Same.
Or if they were just like, he represents, you know, there's the criminal corruption and then there's the religious corruption.
Interesting.
And he represents like each of those two things and the political corruption. And this, each one of these is going to represent a different version of how power corrupts.
Yeah, okay. And they weren't fleshed out, shall we say.
No.
There's an interesting point while we're still leaning on cinematography and world building was that due to some budget cuts on this film, some of the shots were actually like filmed on GoPros and iPhones. What? So I find that fascinating. So for example,
some of the fight scenes.
Yeah. And I think one of them was, there was a bit in a hallway when he's going down some stairs and it just for no reason out of nowhere goes to first person. So it goes from Dev Patel's perspective from out of nowhere. And I think that's just because they were on a staircase. And
gotta
they
do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you can't fit a big old camera in there, you know what I mean? So they just had to do what they had to do in that moment. And there were bits like that that if they had a bit more time, a bit more budget, I think could have really elevated this movie. Like, I really liked this. And we're probably being a little harsh on it right now. But I think there were little things like that and the fleshing out of some characters and the world that in that could have really elevated this and made
it like a cult classic.
Yeah,
I agree. Still a really good movie.
Really good movie.
So now that we've gotten all out of the way.
Well, I like the characters. I like everyone in it, quite frankly.
Yeah, every underdeveloped character, I'm only saying that because I'm like, man, they were actually really compelling, even in their base form.
Right.
Like the actors were good. The position they played in the story, like my mind's like, oh, there's so many things you could,
base form.
Like
they've not unlocked the upgrade yet.
Yeah, they didn't evolve. You know what I mean? They weren't like, they aren't Pikachu into Raichu. Or
yeah, okay.
No, but you get my point. Like they're all well placed for the narrative to do more than they're doing.
Yeah, great.
And you get your mind racing, like, oh, where are they gonna go? And then they end up, you know, like the prostitute just ends up hitting the lady in the back of the head. Like, that was like the culmination of her. Yeah, I was like, all right, well, you could have done more with that. But
I know, there were some good character choices.
They were awesome
there as well.
Yeah. They were awesome and like they were really well, like really well acted. Really well placed.
I really like the Burt Reynolds, the Indian Burt Reynolds, I called him before.
That guy got more screen time than Rana. Almost anyone in the movie.
He was really good. And he held his own. Like, so there's an early fight scene with him. So there's a culmination in the middle of the whole film where the kid decides to take things into his own hands. And there's a fight scene between, you know, Captain, I think he's a captain, Captain Rana and the kid. And my God, he holds his own. He's like a beast in that fight in the bathroom.
Yeah, he is. That's the other one thing I'll say. Having no backstory for why this guy.
Yeah.
You know, other than he punches a rice bag.
Yeah.
Like that could have, I think that's part of the missing piece. But anyway, that's
and that's what I was saying. I think the flashbacks back to the mother and the building's backstory in that, it doesn't give him enough impetus.
Yes.
It's to do with his mother's cause.
And it's more like that's a good point. A more interesting way to think about it would have been like, okay, like we see glimpses of this trauma.
Yeah.
But we're actually seeing like how does he get out of it?
Yeah.
What did he have to do? What did he have to learn? How did it create this person that's not only, you know, has this revenge narrative, but also is equipped to do it and is probably been maybe even radicalized in a way in his own way. And then like he's brought back from that in the transsexual temple.
Yeah.
So I mean, was it a temple?
Yeah.
It was a gathering. I don't know. They had like a community.
Literally what it was.
Yeah.
And you're right. Dev's like the kids' motivations.
Yeah.
They, as solid as they were, like on the foundation of tropes they were built, they weren't interesting to me. Like, you want to get revenge for your mom. Okay, that's it. It's that one dimension. You know what I mean? So there should be more. And I kind of thought they were trying to build parallels between the prostitute he had feelings for and the mom, which sounds weird when I said it out loud. They're trying to build parallels between those characters. But it didn't get fleshed out enough and there wasn't enough there.
Yeah.
Which is, and again, you know, like, what I'm saying is this would have taken this from a B to an A+. Like you put these extra bits in there, you're really elevating the narrative. I think in terms of the pacing as well, that bit in the middle when he goes to the temple. So what happens is he's in a big, there is a big action scene and Dev Patel's character gets injured and he finds himself, he actually falls in the river. And I think I turned to either you or friend of the show, Joe, who was with us. And I was like, if he doesn't die from a bullet, he's going to die from the infection in that river.
He's got that C, B, and D.
Disgusting.
He has literally all of them.
Literally everything.
I was thinking the exact same thing. And it was poo water.
It was grim.
And he had like multiple gunshot wounds.
Yeah. Scott cuts everywhere.
Yeah.
And he wakes up and he's in this temple and it's run by...
I hope they had penicillin.
Yeah. by these Hydras who are a trans community who've been outcast.
Hydra. That's... Okay.
Yeah. It's H-I-J-R-A.
No, I have no idea. Now I'm understanding what the word is associated with because I didn't have any definition.
There you go. So they're outcast basically by the society and they're living in this temple. People don't go to them, don't, you know, give them any time of day. But it slows the movie down. It has this like Rocky-esque montage of, you know, like it's getting stronger. Mm. Like he is, you know, becoming the John Wick, the action hero star in this. And there's a cool scene where he's sort of like learning to become that guy by punching a punching bag to like the beating of a drum. And I kind of like the found family feel of that part, but it really slowed the movie down for me.
Yeah.
Like there was 20 plus minutes of just...
I didn't mind that part.
We're in a temple.
I just knew I was going to get that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Every movie like this has something like that.
It needs that. And there's a lot of movies we've watched recently where there isn't a learning moment. There isn't a point where, you know, something happens to instigate, you know, his actual transformation to the badass. But I did find that a little bit slow and a little bit, not dull's the wrong word, but it was...
What about the transsexual warrior monk that just jumps in and just destroys that rice bag?
Bro, one punch.
She just comes in and just does work.
Big.
Big.
Bigger than...
I mean, Dev Patel, to be fair,
he's pretty ripped.
Skinny guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, he is as ripped as he's ever going to be. And his arm is still, like, a fourth of her. It's the size of hers. But, like, point being, he was pretty shredded for this role.
Yeah. I it's interesting. I think I've seen, like, clips of him talking about this. And he sort of said, like, as who he is and as he's been kind of almost typecast by the industry and being a skinny, tall guy, probably wouldn't get this type of opportunity in Hollywood. So he just kind of went and did it himself. And I respect that, man. Like, good for him. That's awesome.
So guess how much it's cost to make?
10 million.
How much did it gross this week?
Worldwide? Opening weekend was 10 million.
I think international. So this is saying it's going to generate around 150, they think, which is crazy.
Really? Wow. That must be the first week, not the opening week. Because opening weekend wasn't that big. Must be word of mouth.
No, first week in the US was only 10.
Yeah, right. Must be word of mouth because that's awesome.
It's really good.
Because it only got a limited release, really.
Think about how much money that is. That's a hugely profitable film.
Yeah, it's amazing. It did have a bit of a marketing push. So not huge. I don't remember seeing many ads for this.
Mm.
What do you think of the action? Let's talk action very quickly because this is an action movie at its core.
The action was phenomenal.
Yeah, right?
It was really good.
Brutal.
I'm just kind of like, it got progressively more brutal.
That's something I wanted to talk about, absolutely.
Like, as the movie went on, like, and it was, I felt intentional.
Of course. Absolutely.
Not even just like the fights, like the way he was killing people got worse and worse.
I think his proficiency, he got more proficient at being this, you know, he's not a psycho killer, that's the wrong word for it. But
psycho killer,
whatever you would call him, the action star of this movie, he gets more proficient in that. And you see, but that equates not to him doing things the easy way, shooting someone in the head. It's
not a lot of guns.
Brutality.
Yeah, not a lot of guns. I'm like, man, should have brought some guns. Yeah. Going into this place, hitting people with beer bottles.
Bring your fists to this gunfight.
I know. I'll tell you.
He gets shot a lot.
You know, similar amount of dialogue to Kong.
Yeah.
Much more effective at killing.
Much more effective.
Must say, if we're comparing monkey men,
yes,
I know who I'm backing.
And that's definitely not racist because he wears a mask, a monkey mask, all the way through.
He's called Monkey Man. Come on, dude. You're the one that said this is basically a smellier John Wick. You said that.
I said a wetter John Wick.
Wet.
Because it's either sweating or he's covered in blood or is in that shitty river. Like, he is the wettest
you said a more
John Wick.
Pungent John Wick was the words that came out of your mouth.
I think that was yours. That's all right. I think it's that there's an interesting layer on this about the political subtext. And I think I mentioned this before, but that subtext for me and the brutality of some of the actions done in the name of the police, in the name of religion versus what he's doing, I think there's a really interesting subtext there that isn't overly explored, I don't think, but it's certainly there.
I definitely didn't need it in my face more. No. What I wanted was a more clear question to be asked.
Yeah, okay.
Like make it more nuanced, I guess.
Sure.
Make it more, because it was just kind of one-dimensional in a lot of ways. I guess that's just kind of my preference. But what they are investigating is kind of the class system and like the, in a small way, the class system, more probably less that and more just the vast gap in wealth between, you know, the haves.
The word
you're
looking for was gap. Good. You forget the word gap. That's always helpful.
Well, it was a different word, but I just replaced it with gap.
There is a question about this as well. Is like, you know, we're obviously leaning into tones and themes here, but is the kid? He obviously is, but like, how much of what happened to him as a child, to talk about a bit more in spoilers, created who he is? And it's the villain creating their worst enemy. And is the violence and the brutality due to what he experienced as a youth?
Of course.
So I think I like that as a tone and theme. And it's something that I think they tried to explore, but didn't quite get.
But they didn't really, I guess my point is, they didn't really make that. They didn't make that intentional statement, or even present it as an intentional statement. They actually confused the viewer, I think, this is one of the things I was going to talk about with the tones and themes. I don't know what's going on with this like myth of Hanuman.
Oh yeah, the monkey man.
Myth. Like, because it doesn't actually correlate to his journey at all.
They tried to make correlate.
It didn't really, though, is my point. Like, I thought a better thing to investigate was like blood begets blood. Evil, like to your point, what you just described is like, he is what they created and it undoes them, but it also creates more, like that's a stronger theme, as opposed to like, he is this, you know, monkey man that goes to the mango and then is punished.
Yeah,
that doesn't really connect. Like
the interesting thing, I think I'm agreeing with you here.
Yeah.
There's a gap there in that story. So what part of that the flashbacks to the kid and his mom?
Explain, sorry.
Is that she's telling him a story, this mythical story of a monkey who eats too much and is too greedy and tries to eat a mango but eats the sun and then gets punished. There isn't like a message in there. There's no moral implication. And it doesn't need to be said or spelled out to you, but it kind of does in a way, because she's telling the story. So like, tell me what I'm supposed to take out of this. And then the main character, the kid's story, can follow that. But because that's not spelled out, it's almost like,
it's not even that, yeah.
What's the moral?
It's not even that it's not spelled out. It's like, it almost sounds like the theme of that parable.
Yeah.
Is don't be greedy. But then they're trying to say he's the monkey man.
Yeah.
And they just, it's like, actually, shouldn't it be the other people that are representative of the monkey man? And he is, like, it just didn't work.
Yeah. Agree. You know? Unless they're trying to equate his violence to the greed of the monkey man. So when he, you know, when the monkey's eating, like,
it was
all
loose.
The little things. Yeah.
I'm
really clutching at straws here. But like, when he's eating the little things, you know, he's undertrained and he's not very good at the violence. And then when he finally eats the sun, he becomes, you know, the big dog.
Really liked it. Really liked the idea of it, but did not
same.
The execution. And really liked the monkey imagery.
Yes.
With his mask and with, like, when he actually comes
Godzilla
back.
Godzilla coming in that time. Yeah. King Kong.
100%. No, when he comes back and fights, and, you know, there's a point where, you know, he's basically paid to, like, lose fights, right?
Yeah.
And he comes in and you know, the clout, whenever you're paid to take
heel.
A fall.
He's the heel.
Yeah, he's the heel. Whenever you're paid to pick a fall, it's like Chekhov's heel.
Yeah.
You know they're going to do a fight where he comes back and,
well, you got to win.
And wins.
Yeah, right.
So,
but then he becomes loved by the people. And that's another thing that's going to explode, because he going against the system, the white man system, which is kind of almost baked into this at some level, becomes loved by the people. And I thought that could have been explored as well.
It could have been explored like when they couldn't find the terrorist.
Right.
And like that should have been explored, I think, with another moment with that broken legged guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where like you get, they meet
Alfonso.
Up. Yeah, well, he like,
I loved his comedy,
where he like hides him. Alfonso hides him, and they meet. Or like they meet with like a broader group, and he sees on the news that there's been rallies around the monkey, and it's like, you know, it's like almost a V for Vendetta style thing. That could have been cool. There's a lot of ways you could have gone with it, but I agree.
He doesn't have an arc, that character, which upsets me a little bit. Yeah. I felt like there was so much.
There was a lot you could do with that.
Yeah, agreed.
And they set it up. They like had the guys making fun of him. He acted like he wanted to be that guy. He really, in his heart of hearts, knew that they didn't accept him. Like it was a really good setup to just not really end it.
I feel like all we've talked about is tones and themes. It's great.
And we've also like only said negative things. The movie's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
This is so good. And I think, this is an awesome movie. Go check it. Absolutely 100%. This is better than Aquaman. I'm jumping ahead. you should absolutely go and check this out. Make it a $1 billion movie if you can, because I want more of this creativity in Hollywood. Saying that, if it became a $1 billion movie, they'd probably make a million sequels and they'd all be shit. So maybe just make it a $400 million
movie. Peele owns the rights, right? So
he must own some of it, yeah. But I think it is right there. It's on the cusp of cult classic status. If it just had a couple of like extra layers to it, it could have been that, you know.
It does kind of feel like a movie that had that.
Could have been the next Ong Bak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that had that, but was
or the Raid, because it's got the Raid vibes to me.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, so I couldn't be good.
The Raid is amazing. It's such a anyway. We've talked tones and themes to death. What DL are your three best and three worst?
My three best are when he actually like acts like a monkey in one of the fights, like when he's had his redeeming arc.
Just like the drunken monkey stance.
It's like pretty badass. Yeah, it's a pretty cool part in the redemption arc. And then I haven't talked about it once, which is a travesty, but the score of this movie is so good.
Yeah.
Like it's all over the place. All different types of music, all like you'll have a chaos part that's like got like soft guitar. And then you'll have like another part that's like full on heavy metal rock.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place, but it was so well placed and kept you on your toes and always fit the moment, no matter how different it was from the last thing it was playing.
My only thing I'd say is I think in the first half of the movie, it didn't always hit. And then
there wasn't really anything for them to score in the first half.
And then as it came through, it then like it really started to hit for me.
Yeah. Well, it crescendoed really well, I should say.
Agreed.
Like the last half of the movie was really good. And then I think the other one was just obviously the fight choreography and stuff.
I've got the fight. Yeah. So that's my second one. So I've got it's a window into like a culture that I just have, you know, minimal insight into. Like I really like that this is different. It's showcasing something outside of the white man norm, I'm going to just say, because really that's, you know, Hollywood. Again, the fight choreography is fantastic. I know Dev Patel, I think he's a black belt in a couple of martial arts, so it's in him, it's in his blood. I'm glad he got the chance to do an action movie. And then I've got one of those, and if you'll let me, this bridges the best and worst for me. So I've got in best and my first worst is the violence. So the violence for me, it's quite refreshing. Like I'm so used to pandered to audiences, Disney-fied, you know, mollycoddling movies that won't even show blood these days. Seeing this, I was like, holy shit. Even in the first like 20 minutes, I was like, he's getting the shit kicked out of him in the kickboxing ring, whatever it is. I was like, this is amazing. But then as I go through it, then kind of flips to worst in a sense. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's quite shocking at times. There are bits where you're like,
they go farther than they need to.
They do take it.
They want to shock you.
Yeah.
They definitely go farther than it. But that's kind of just a matter of taste at that point. And it is like, I have it as a negative too, which is, you know, it wasn't for me. I could handle it. Like I looked away for sure at times. I was like, ooh, but like, you know, I'm not, you know, that for me, that's just, it's like a meter, right? You can amp it up. You can put it down. If you are not a person that is a fan of gore, there will be multiple moments where you will need to kind of look away.
There were times when I was like, for sure, squirmy, cringing. Do you want me to finish my worst I've started? The other one was sometimes some of the mixing wasn't great. So like some of the dialogue, I couldn't hear what they were saying. So there were bits of it, especially when they were in the temple.
Well, there's also the accents with that. To be honest, look, like as somebody who doesn't handle Indian accents well, it was harder for me to understand with that mixing issue.
You know, my partner's got a Pakistani heritage. Like I'm good with all that.
For me, it doesn't
matter to me in the slightest. But so, there were times it was very Chris Nolan, like, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I was like, I can't follow this scene.
No, I had the same.
And the final one was just those unfinished layers we talked about. Like there's just one or two more scenes, just layering up some of those characters, some of the moments. It could have, it was right there.
Yeah, I hear you.
What are your worst?
I have the same thing with the gore. It wasn't really a negative for me, but it might not be for you.
Yeah.
A little more character plot and development as I talked about. And I'm not really fully sure I believe the back, like give me more of the backstory, right?
Okay.
And tie that in maybe to the myth. Those are the stuff we've already talked about. It's just because it'd be a really, really, really good movie if they did that well.
Agreed.
It's a good movie.
Goes from like a B to an A, or a B plus to an A plus. Well, you know what I mean? It's like that.
Totally.
Okay. Do you want to guess for me then the current IMDb score for this?
7.4.
Not bad. Not bad. What do you think? Rotten Tomatoes percentage?
That's in like the 85. 85 probably or something.
87.
Okay.
I think people are really, really digging this. And finally, my favorite, it's all user scores. It's always 3.6, but it's never 3.6. Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. It's got to be 3.8.
Yes, it's 3.8. We got a blind squirrel again. Bada-bing. Here he is. And just our final rating system. I've already said what I think, but we always do. Is this better or worse than the most average movie we know, which is Aquaman 2018? DL, why do you think it's better?
I reckon it is better for all the reasons I've already said. But it's just fresh. It's not a superhero movie, even though it has a similar
good elements. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like that. It's a, you know, an infusion of culture that, you know, the West hasn't seen for sure. So it's
definitely
pretty cool to see that. Dev Patel's good. We haven't even talked about him that much, but he's pretty damn good.
I feel like there's a stigma around sort of Bollywood movies that they're silly and corny and they have, you know, dance numbers and they do silly action stuff. Whereas this brings, you know, hard hitting from that culture just in a way that I was not ready for.
I haven't really seen anything from Bollywood, but I'll say that it was just refreshing to get another perspective on, you know,
culture, action and movies.
Yeah, and honestly, just like a movie that knows what it's trying to be mostly, which is an action movie, and does that well.
Agreed. Spoilers?
Well, we, you know, everybody dies.
there's a lot of people who
kills
die
all the bad
movie.
People.
It does go that John Wick bit at the end where he just murks everyone. But then, like, he gets stabbed too.
Does he?
He does. At the very end. You told me that. You reminded me. I forgot.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. You're right. And I think he's probably would die from that stab.
I think so too.
But I also thought he'd die from the poo-poo water. So, I mean,
you know. Look, to round out the actual story of this, so what's actually happening is that Dev Patel, as a child, when he's a kid, not the kid, his family and his community is being driven out of their homes by what looks like the police in some sort of relocation or whatever that looks like in a bit of land, which it turns out eventually is built on by this religious leader who we talked about and wasn't particularly well fleshed out, in my opinion, creating what seem like sweatshops, but a community for his religious people.
That helps like power manufacturing. And
exactly.
It
isn't necessarily fleshed out where that leads in terms of the land, but they're relocated. His mom gets brutally murdered while he's in the attic.
Watching her get basically raped. And
it's implied, but implied, not shown. Yeah. And then the police guy, what was his name? Sorry, I've completely forgotten his name.
Mustache dude.
Yeah, Rana just sets her on fire.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's how he gets his hand burns, because his kid's trying to put out his... We haven't even talked
about the hand burns. I was going to say that.
Scars on his hands, so you're kind of like wondering what actually happened the whole movie.
And he keeps lying about it, a bit like the Joker. Yeah. It's a different story every time he tells
it. The trailer
it.
Dropped, by the way.
Yeah, for the Joker 2. Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, it is something.
Real something.
Yeah, so he burns his hands, and that's a big spoiler that you kind of figured had something to do with his mom the whole movie. Because they basically told you.
I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be... Interesting, because I thought that was going to be something along the lines of the police caught him and, you know, like tortured him so that he wouldn't speak. Something along those lines.
It looked
lines.
Pretty clearly like burns. And I was like, okay.
Well, he could have burned his hand.
He kept going back to like a vision of like the village on fire. So I was like, I don't know. Something's happened.
True. One thing that I was interested in and I kept thinking all the way through the movie, and really glad they didn't go this route, was I thought they were going to make Rana like his dad or something. And it was like,
God, no, that's just like, what does that add?
But no, absolutely nothing.
I hope.
But it wasn't, I'm not saying it was exactly hinted at, but like there's subtext there. You could have been a bit like, oh, you know, maybe Rana raped his mom and whatever. And he was the offspring from that type thing. You know what I mean? So it was in the back of my mind. And I'm like, thank God they didn't go that route with it. Cause that wouldn't have been a good angle.
I agree.
The Hedras went wild, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So there's a scene where like all the...
Well, explain the final action scene.
Yeah, so they're like, well, is it at the final? It's one. Basically, he's invading the hotel that is the stronghold for this club and all the people that represent the things that he hates.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
I could
that is a concept.
Of him, you know, like the lower class rising up.
Yeah,
and
through this
on,
like level by
in
level.
A nice suit.
In a nice suit through this like, you know, hotel of like...
Elitist club, right?
Elitist pleasures. It's up to the top where there's just a bunch of like prostitutes and cocaine and all the richest of the rich. And so you see him just go level by level attacking people. And at one point, you know, it's crazy action sequence. And he's you're like, oh, dude, is he going to be able to get out of this
I thought
one?
It was going
to
be the Kill Bill thing, you know, where it's the crazy 99 or whatever they're called. Yeah. I thought it was going to be that.
Yeah.
And then no.
And instead you get like monk, warrior, transvestites, burst through the door.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yoked. Just taking everybody out. Scene.
Yeah. I love like the it's not armor really. It's whatever the outfit is they're in.
I don't
know
what they've got going on.
It's like a ceremonial war armor almost or outfit. It looks so freaking cool. And they're like just beating the shit out of these guys. Man, it looks so epic.
Yeah. And one of them in one scene when they look back and he's like, get on the elevator. Cause they're like holding back a group. Looks exactly like Joe Rogan. Exactly. There's a still.
I totally missed that.
There's a still.
I totally missed
that. It looks like
that.
A sweaty Joe Rogan if he was a transvestite in Indian in. Garb.
Yeah, okay.
What do, they call right. it? What do you call it? What do you call the outfit?
I think it's the Hijra tribe anyway, community. So
just if you're curious, if that gets you to the theater.
And then he finally gets his moment with Rana and he finishes the job.
Yeah.
He doesn't shoot him. I like that. And I don't think he shoots anyone in this.
Kills him.
It's interesting because they're building him to death. Like the first thing is like there's even a John Wick like call out in this. They talk about he goes to buy a gun to kill Rana in the very beginning of the film, and the guy's buying it from is like, oh yeah, I got the new John Wick gun or whatever he says.
They did do that. I forgot about that.
But he doesn't actually use the gun, which I actually really like. I feel like that's almost like a representation of the other side, the police with their guns.
He does a couple times, but it's only like it's not when he plans.
Yeah. It's more out of necessity rather than it being his way of killing people. And then he gets up to the final big bad boss, which is the religious cult leader guy, and the religious cult leader guy stabs him and
kind of like a duplicitous way.
Yes.
I don't really like that. Snaky, that whole part I didn't really get what
felt a bit unnecessary. Yeah. Did you feel it was just like
he's actually not the villain, it's the other guy.
Yeah.
Like why are we doing
this? He could
have
been for the sequel. Yeah. Which I was gonna ask you. Do you think it's gonna be a sequel?
I mean if
you don't see his corpse.
I just don't think that's, I don't know, because I would have thought that this movie would have been a one and done based off all the groundwork they did with the characters.
Agreed.
But then because they didn't finish it off, I'm kind of like, I could easily see it devolving into like a John Wick style.
If it makes enough money.
I could see that.
If it makes enough money.
And then it just becomes this way to fund, you know, if Peele's got that studio, other cool artsy projects, but.
That'd be good. Yeah. That would be cool. Who knows?
I don't think it was originally intended to have one, but I could see it happening.
I don't think so either. I think it was meant to be very clear that I would have loved it if it was just him and Rana who was the final battle. I think that was what it built up to. Yeah. And then you had this tacked on bit at the end. I was like, all right, Raiden.
He did look like Raiden.
Indian Raiden. Yeah. He got to catch kill it, you know, the god of Indian thunder. Raiden,
good hair.
That man, look at his IMDb picture, has a great head of hair. Unbelievable.
Great hair, ripped
all right.
Dude. Yeah.
Finally then, should we finish off with a bit of trivia, true or false?
We should.
We both recommend this movie, guys. Go check it out. Let's get it over that 500 million mark. Trivia true, trivia false DL. Dev Patel suffered a number of injuries during the filming of this movie, which included a broken hand. Is that true or is that false?
Feels like that's got to be true. It's not that crazy.
Yeah, he also suffered two broken toes, a torn shoulder, and an eye infection. So the eye infection was when he did the scene lying on the bathroom floor and, you know, crew walking in and out. He got an eye infection. There's one thing that I want to call out to you in the action of this that I found. Some of the action scenes were quite innovative in interesting ways. So John Wick led the way in many ways for, you know, using your scenery, using what's around you to like hurt and injure people. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool bit where he slams a guy's head into a stove. And because it's an open flame, and he has like it's like a whiskey bottle or something in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So the whiskey bottle obviously smashed into the stove and that would hurt enough, right? But then obviously it explodes. The fire comes up and engulfs this guy's head.
Owie.
Right?
Owie is
brutal.
Is
and I mean, not quite as bad as Dev Patel's actual injuries, but you know.
No, like, no, but I mean, honestly, it looked like an owie.
It did. Okay, trivia true, trivia false, DL. Mm-hmm. In the original cut, it was going to be revealed that Police Chief Rana was the kid's father. Is that true or is that false?
False.
It is false. I made it up. That was my idea from the movie. I shouldn't have said anything earlier, goddammit. Yeah, I've ruined it.
You gave it away.
I ruined it. Trivia true, trivia false, DL. Finally, originally, the shoot was located in India in early 2020 before production was put on hold during the pandemic and it got moved to Thailand. Is that true or is that false?
True.
Mostly true. It was put on hold due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but it actually ended up filming in Indonesia in early 2001. Mm. So this is kind of the last of those COVID film movies that haven't quite come out
yet. Coming out.
But it's 2024. Isn't that mental? Wow. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. All right, well, thank you all for sticking with it. We do really appreciate it. But before we get to our wrap-up section, DL, we had a request. And we haven't done correspondence for a long old time, but this is one that I had to call out. We will, if you guys send us stuff on Instagram, we're at podcastassemble or thepodcastassemble@gmail.com. We will absolutely call you out. But friend of the show and resident Reegs actually hit me up and asked me for a favor. Now, apparently his sister heard our podcast and said, I have a very nice voice. So thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. That's really sweet of you. He said also to call you Eggy. So Eggy, that's this is for you. So I was asked to say this, and I'm only going to say a couple of, so I don't go too long here. I'm only going to say a couple of these paragraphs here. So this is from Dr. Seuss, DL.
Ah!
But Eggy, you can think up some birds. That's what you can do. You can think about yellow. You can think about blue. You can think about red. You can think about pink. You can think up a horse. Oh, the thinks you can think. Oh, the thinks think up if only you try. If you try, you can think up a guff going by. And that's all I'm going to do for now. But I'll do that, Eggy, if you leave us a 5-star review on your podcast capture of choice. We appreciate you sticking with it through this podcast.
I forgot how trippy Dr. Seuss was.
So fucking trippy. Wild. Wild. I haven't read it in many, many years.
Yeah, it's a hard read.
I hope that if you have any more kinks you guys want me to do, you can check out my OnlyFans. It's like,
God, dude. There's, I'm kidding. There's something for everyone out there.
We thank you very much for sticking with it, guys. DL, do you want to wrap up the show?
Of course. 5 stars, baby. A big thank you to Matthew Bliss for editing and mastering this week's episode. And if you'd like, you know, to podcast yourself, you're a budding podcaster.
Get him on your team.
You want someone to help you out. It's hard stuff, I hear. Get in touch with Matt at business@mbpod.com or head to mbpod.com to find out more about his services. If you want to hear his work, he's also got a podcast, From My Home to Yours, with his wife, where he talk about, you know, expatting, repatting, all that kind of stuff, moving around the world, and all that goes with that. So have a listen.
Check out his dulcet tones. It's very wholesome podcast.
Check out his dulcet, soothing tones. There's no Dr. Seuss.
Got to be more soothing than mine.
But there's plenty to love about it all. Otherwise, you can find us at thepodcastassemble@gmail.com or podcastassemble on Instagram.
Got it right.
That's really all there is. I got to say, it was a fun movie. Love talking about it.
Go watch Monkey Man, the other monkey film.
Yes. Of the monkey films we've seen in the last 3 weeks, this is a far superior monkey.
Way too many monkeys in these films.
Yeah. Anyway, until next time, Tommy.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Baby.